So when you were younger in middle school, right, you swapped classes with girls and you learned new things like cooking and home equities. Am I right?
You're close. Home economics is what they called cooking and sewing and all those domestic arts that girls were deemed to need and fellows were not. The boys in 7th and 8th grade were given classes in shop. So we learned to use tools and machines and cut wood and make things and screws and fasten bolts. And the girls were taught to make biscuits and sew buttons. But our school in Monticello, New York, a small town about 90 miles from New York State, from New York City, back in the day when I was in seventh grade, decided to swap classes between the boys and the girls. So for 2 weeks, the boys took home economics and the girls took shop. And it was a revelation on both sides, because the girls, for the first time, learned to recognize screws, learned how to use screwdrivers, learned how to change fuses. Those were the days before circuit breakers. And the boys learned how to sew, how to cook, how to bake. I found it totally stimulating and inspiring. I think after the first day, I went home and baked muffins for my parents. Somewhere during that 2 week period, I'm sure that I went home and baked a cake. I remember a marble cake.
Did they like it?
They loved it, and it was good. It was, you know, it wasn't from a commercial bakery source. I had done everything from scratch, and it was sensational. In eighth grade, they did it again. So again, we had 2 weeks of exchange and deepened our understanding of how to do various things, wash clothes and sew and bake and cook. So the upshot of it was, in my case, when I crossed that boundary, I found that it gave me tremendous independence. Throughout the rest of my life, I am now 75, so we're talking about roughly 60 years. I've been able to do all the domestic things that many men are paralyzed and unable to do. even as a young person, I was in the army and I could sew holes in my socks. I could mend buttons that had popped off. I love cooking and baking and have done it ever since those days. So it really made me pretty independent, especially when I was a young guy and living independently, both through college and after college, until I met your grandma. Even now, I think I'm the chief cook in our house. I do an awful lot of laundry and shopping for groceries, and will sew my torn pockets and so on. So I'm still fairly skilled in those domestic arts. And I'm grateful to the enlightened teachers who allowed us to swap places and cross those fairly rigid gender boundaries that did exist. Let's see, how old was I then? Back in the 40s. That was in the 40s, and the gender boundaries were more defined in those days.
Very interesting. Okay.
Any questions further about that part of my life?
No, I think I'm good. You've also crossed other sorts of boundaries, like religion-wise.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple of ways that I can think of where religious boundaries were crossed. I was never particularly religious. I grew up in a family that was purportedly Jewish, but didn't exercise any of the ritual or even very much of the culture of Jewishness. So we were nominally Jewish, but pretty secular in our lives, and not at all involved in religious ceremony. But I always considered myself a Jew. And consequently, back in the day, this would have been back in the 40s and 50s and the early 60s, there was still a great deal of anti-Semitism, and what I want to say, it was not subtle anti-Semitism either. There was some pretty obvious anti-Semitism existing. So I didn't relate myself as a religious Jew, but certainly as an ethnic Jew, and realized that I could face considerable hostility and discrimination in my relationships with people, or even in the work that I sought to do. So I never really made it an outward part of my personality. That is, I tried passing, basically, as non-Jewish. I mean, if someone asked me, I certainly wouldn't lie, and I would say that I was Jewish. But if they didn't ask me, I wouldn't say anything that would mark me as someone of the Jewish ethnic persuasion. And so I remember, for example, going to Columbia University back in 1958, when they were just apparently coming off of a history of discrimination. These days we think about some of these great universities as communities that tolerated a great deal of diversity, but in those days, back in the 40s and 50s, many of our great universities were fairly intolerant. Women were not admitted to many programs. They had quotas for how many people who were Jewish they would allow in. Blacks had a hard time gaining admission to programs. So I passed as best I could without revealing the fact that I was of a less desirable ethnic character. Racism was pretty dominant during that period of time. If I applied for a job, the same thing happened. I certainly wouldn't do anything or say anything that made anyone suspect that I was other than a Christian or a lapsed Christian or just a secular person who had no commitment to any particular religion. Any questions about that period?
Mm-mm.
Now, the second time that I crossed the boundary was within my own family. Because my family wasn't particularly Jewish, when Nana and I decided to become religious Jews, we were considered crazy by my family. We were considered to be somehow misguided and fanatic about religion. The closest anyone in my family got to religion during the days when I was growing up, I'm not talking about my distant ancestors who were probably religious in the old country, but in this country, the nearest anyone had ever gotten was an uncle of mine who went to a Reform Jewish synagogue, and he, you know, gave lip service to being a Jew in the Reform setting, but otherwise was pretty secular in his lifestyle. Did not keep kosher, did not observe the Sabbath, did not perform any of the religious ceremonies, except that he was affiliated with the Reform Temple. Nana and I started out that way, started out as totally secular. Nana had come from a background of Lutheran worship and affiliation in her Swedish and German background, and I was secular. When Nana's mother remarried, she married an Episcopalian. So for a brief period, Nana was affiliated with the Episcopal Church. She never really felt close to religion. And when I met her, and when we started living as husband and wife, both of us were quite secular. So imagine our surprise when, years later, I would suppose about 9 or 10 years after we got married, Nana decided that she wanted to convert to Judaism, and that was with no pressure from me, because I wasn't interested in leading a religious life, but she thought it would be much better for the children, one of whom, of course, is your mother. So we did pursue conversion for her, and entrance into a Jewish life that included more cultural content, more religious worship, attendance at a synagogue, study, considerable study, because you needed to do that in order for her to convert, but we did it together, and both of us learned a great deal. And I found, to my surprise, I really enjoyed it. And I really gained a lot from my study and from my active participation in Jewish life. Eventually, we moved to Teaneck, New Jersey, from farther out in New Jersey, and we fell into a community, inadvertently that is, because it wasn't our plan, of religious Jews, Orthodox Jews. And began leading a really Orthodox Jewish life. That lasted for 10 years. And during that time, because we were kosher, and because we wouldn't travel on the Sabbath, since we were observing all the tenets of strict religion, my family, who were secular, felt offended, and there was some estrangement on their part. They still loved us, they still were very fond of us and wanted our company, but we wouldn't eat in their homes unless they made special provisions for our kosher meals. We wouldn't visit them on holidays or on Saturdays. And so it became a point of tension within the family that we had crossed that boundary from secularism to religion.
Very interesting. So you didn't stay Orthodox.
After 10 years, we left the community we were living in Teaneck and moved to Maine and got away from religious practice. And today, I would say we're back to living a pretty secular life. Mm-hmm. We're no longer affiliated with any religious institution. I often regret that we weren't able to continue, but at the time, it was very stressful for members of the family, and continued to be somewhat foreign. One of the problems with going from no background in religion to total immersion in Orthodoxy was the fact that Hebrew played a large part in what you did. And Nana couldn't learn Hebrew, and I was having a hard time with it. And Uncle Burke and your mother were both having a hard time with it. And it just got in the way, basically, of the lives they were trying to lead as good, wholesome people. It benefited us, however, in that both your mom and Uncle Burke went to schools in which they were taught wholesome values, ethics, and the avoidance of such things as drugs, premarital sex, and bad language. So that worked to everyone's benefit, because they did have a wholesome environment. And outside of the schooling, as members of the Jewish community, we discovered that we were part of a very wholesome community as well, in that people were very friendly, there was a lot of social life, we would visit one another, we would have dinners together, we would celebrate holidays together with neighbors, the neighbors who had become good friends. And in that sense, yet, I guess we could say another boundary was crossed, because when you live in a community, you often don't interact with the families who live around you. In cities, especially, people tend to get atomized. They may have friends across town, but not necessarily on the block on which they live. What happened in our case, conversely, was that there must have been a dozen families on the one block on which we lived that we interacted with frequently and visited socially and had meals together and so on, celebrated joyful occasions, confirmations and weddings and unjoyful occasions like funerals or visiting someone in the hospital. And our block was only one block of many. There were many, many other families and blocks all around where we live. So we actually became part of a community in a city, the city of Teaneck, which is somewhat unusual, except in an ethnic and religious enclave of the sort that we had fallen into.
So although you were not Orthodox anymore, you consider yourself fairly secular, you kept a bit of what you started when you were Orthodox.
Yes. I, after living as a very committed Jew for 10 years, actually longer, I guess for a couple of years before that, we were easing our way into it. It was maybe 3 years before that, so it's about a 13-year span. I didn't want to give up my Jewish identity, so even though I'm living a secular life today, I suppose we could say this is yet another boundary, I'm maintaining a certain level of kosher eating to remind myself that I am a Jew, and not to forget that I have a background and that I have a heritage, and hopefully to remind you and the rest of the family that you're Jewish too, and that's part of your heritage. I cannot bring myself to eat non-kosher food. So that remains still a part of my person.
And you also practice rituals during holidays.
That's right. And we do celebrate some holidays together. We always have fun on Hanukkah. Probably ought to do more. But that's at least more than nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I thank you for your time. Maybe we can continue another day. But I think I've got plenty right here.